Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the C-Max Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Palak. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I welcome you to the earnings call of C-Max Limited for Q1 FY26. From the management side, we have Mr. Rajeev Goyal, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Vinay Kumar Agarwal, CFO, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relations. We welcome the management of C-Max on this call. Now, I invite Mr. Rajeev Goyal, the Non-Executive Director, to give his opening remarks, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Are we audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning to all. I'm Rajeev Goyal, Non-Executive Director of C-Max Limited, and I welcome all of you to this investor conference for C-Max Limited for presenting our results for quarter one FY26. The global shipping industry remains the foundation of international trade, with the oil and gas sector continuing to be one of the largest value generators worldwide. I also have with me my Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Agarwal, and our Vice President, Strategy and Investor Relations, Mr. Sunil Gupta. Entering 2025, the offshore oil and gas industry is on a clear growth trajectory, supported by rising global energy demand, technological advancement, and an active investment climate, despite challenges from the supply chain inflation and the geopolitical uncertainty. As of now, the global oil demand is projected to reach 103.9 million barrels per day in 2025, while the offshore drilling market is expected to expand from $36 billion in 2023 to over $80 billion by 2033, a compounded annual growth exceeding 8%. Investment in deepwater and ultra-deepwater exploration, enabled by advanced technologies such as AUV, ROV, and AI-driven analytics, are gathering pace across the globe. India, with its 7,500-kilometer coastline and growing economic needs, is positioned to benefit significantly from this upcycle. Policy initiatives taken by the government, like Maritime Vision 2030 and the Sagarmala Program, along with 6% FDI allowance in critical energy subsectors and the allocation of over 1 million square kilometers for offshore exploration, underscore the government's intent to expand the oil and gas sector. In this booming environment, C-Max is advancing its leadership in the diving support vessel segment while executing a deliberate diversification into offshore support vessels and accommodation barges. This strategic fleet expansion increases our operational flexibility and strengthens our ability to participate in a wider range of offshore projects, including EPC-linked assignments. Operationally, the quarter saw solid execution across our fleet, with 93% efficiency factor. C-Max Princess successfully completed the pipeline replacement project 7 and transitioned directly into the pipeline replacement project 8 and the Daman Upside Development Project. This vessel completed its season on 17th June 2025, against the projections of 30th May 2025, thereby generating revenue for an additional 18 days in the quarter. The other vessel, C-Max 3, continued to generate consistent returns through extended charter hire periods, signed by way of addendum on its original BIMCO charter party agreement. TMAC 2 completed its dry dock well before the planned timeline of 30th September. So we are expecting the vessel to go back to the sea by 10th of September, which is a saving of almost 20 days in the scheduled time. Going forward, the acquisition of Lucent Tara by the company is well on track and the sale transaction is expected to be completed in August itself. And as of now, we plan to put the vessel in the field starting December 25 onwards. We have received the shareholder approval for purchase of TMAC Anand and now the transaction has started for acquisition of the vessel by TMAC and we expect to complete this by October 25. So overall, we remain committed to operational excellence and timely execution of all our ongoing present contracts. With strong sector fundamentals and a clear strategic direction, we are confident that the financial year 25-26 will be a year of execution, consolidation and growth for TMAC with the addition of these two high-value vessels, Lucent Tara and TMAC Anand. Our focus will remain on optimizing our fleet, securing value-accretive contracts and maintaining financial discipline to deliver sustained value to our stakeholders. I will now hand over to Vice President Mr. Sunil Gupta, who will take forward from here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rajivji, and good morning to all. I extend a warm welcome to everyone for today's journey. Let me take you through finance. Our consolidated revenue for FY26 31 crores compared to 223 crores in Q1 FY25, reflecting a YOY growth of 4%. On a standalone basis, revenue registered an increase of 2% over the same period last year. However, due to better operational mix and the charter hire, the consolidated EBITDA for quarter that 1 was compared to 81 crores in Q1 FY20. Higher for increase of 45%. On standalone basis, EBITDA rose by 34% for 6 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. On the profitability front, consolidated profit after tax stood at rupees 76 crores as against rupees 50 crores in Q1 FY25. On standalone level, profit after tax moved from rupees 52 crores in Q1 FY25 to INR 80 crores in Q1 FY26. Our ROC for the quarter stood at 11%, while ROE stood at 10% on consolidated basis. We believe these results reflect our steady progress and resilience, positioning us well for the year ahead. Thank you. I will now hand it back to moderator to initiate Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Moderator, we are not able to hear your voice clearly. I hope we are able to hear the questions of the participants clearly.
Yes, sir. The first question is from the line of Harshit Jain from Trinetra Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
I would request you to be little louder and little slow because where we are, the voice is not clear. Okay?
Definitely, sir. I'll do that. Okay.
Please go ahead.
My first question is, so the management fee has been around 3-4% of the sales, and it's been increased. It is a significant decrease over the years. So can you throw some light on that and when it would come down?
Sumit, can you repeat the question?
The question is that the...
Please go ahead.
Management piece is around 3-4% of the sales and it's a significant increase over the years. So when can we expect it to come down?
See, this management fee that we are paying at present, it is well within the market benchmark. And the company, you know, has appointed Grant Thornton to undertake a comprehensive related party transaction. And we are expecting that report anytime in the coming week. And once that report is received by us, this is the report, if there is any recommendation that this management fee needs to be curtailed down, you know, the management will be more than happy to take the appropriate steps. But if the report says that it is well within the market benchmark, I don't think we really require to bring that down. So we'll share the related party detailed comprehensive study from Grant Thornton with our stakeholders as and when we receive it.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, how much have you invested in our UK business? Earlier it was mentioned that we are planning to invest less and bring back the money from the UK business. So can you throw some light on this?
Yeah, so in respect of the UK business, so as we have always maintained, that part of the asset will be used for our global operations, because with our expanding fleet, we see the North Sea market as a great offshore operation opportunity, and the other part of the investment shall be brought back once the entire project is complete. So when we initially envisaged and planned this project, so this project was slated to be completed by March 25. As of now, you know, our plans are to complete this in another 12 to 15 months period. And we are on track. We have got the approvals. And once that is done, we will definitely bring half of the investment.
Okay. Thank you, sir. My next question is that the UK subsidiary is expected to turn cash flow positive only by financial year 27. So what is the cumulative loss projection until then, and how much is it expected to impact the consolidated ROCE?
So actually, you know, till the global operations commence, till that time, whatever is the cost that we are incurring in the UK operations, that is all part of the CapEx. So as such, you know, there is not a very significant operational loss that we are foreseeing. And even to, you know, stop the interest burden on the loans that were granted to the subsidiary. So the company in the past, through proper expert opinion and board approval, has already converted the loans into redeemable preference shares, thereby saving on the interest outlay. So as such, going forward, the major factor of interest has now solved, and I don't see any significant OPEX cost coming into operation.
Adding to what Rajivji just said, I would like to highlight, in March 24 numbers, the operating loss, total loss of overseas company was 66 crores, which was last year curtailed to 28 crores. And this year also, we expect that it will be substantially brought down. And as he said, gradually we would like that our total operations become profitable.
Okay. So one final question from my side. What's the status on the Anant and Vishantara acquisition? And when can we expect the deployment? And what is the revenue potential for the upcoming 2 years?
As Rajivji mentioned in his opening remarks, we are about to complete the acquisition of Nusantara in the month of August. post which the vessel will be sent for dry dock, which is a mandatory requirement. Generally, the dry dock period is a 3-month period, and we would like to expedite that as much as we can. With regard to Anand, the shareholder approval has already come. Now the other regulatory approvals are in the process. While the exact timelines may not be clear, but we believe that by October we should be able to complete that and bring the vessel to water.
Okay, so sir, what is the revenue potential for financial year 26 and 27, and how much margin can we expect on these?
How much?
Margins can we expect in these vessels?
See, generally in our diving support vessels, we expect a margin of 30-35%.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, that is for my side.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, please limit your question to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Agarwal from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. So, with the global offshore drilling expected to grow at 8% CAGR till 2023, how is CMAC positioning itself to capture a large share of deep water and ultra deep water projects, especially in regions like West Africa and Brazil?
As of now, you know, we are not exploring Africa as a market for our operations. The entire fleet, as of now, is totally engaged on long-term charter for the next 2 to 3 years, except CMAC 3, which we are keeping aside for short-term charter. We have got ample opportunities on the East Coast side because that is a development which is taking place very, very smooth. Great pace and aggression. And CMAC 3 was deployed in last season also in the East Coast. Again, in this season, it is going to the East Coast. So, we do not have any plans to actually explore the African market as of now.
Okay, okay sir. And sir, just follow up question. Do you currently have any, have the technical capability for ultra deep water assignment? And are you evaluating any partnership with the international offshore contractors?
So, you know, we are primarily an air diving and surface diving operation company. What we are doing is we are coming forward and expanding our scope from a diving operating company to a subsea operator, and we are also exploring the market of Middle East, especially the oil fields of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, because that is where the company in the last 2 years has gained presence, has earned credibility, and in fact the vessel Swordfish has now been deployed for a period of 2 years with the Saudi Aramco, and that's a very big achievement, because that is one of the toughest market in terms of compliance and vessel maintenance, and the rates are very good. So we are more focused on the existing fleet or adding similar fleet to enhance operations in the Middle East. Deep water diving is a totally different ball game. It requires a different CapEx planning, strategy planning. And as such, you know, the field in which we are operating, we see a lot of opportunities. So that is not on the table right now.
Okay, okay, sir. So just want to like squeeze one last question. So how does your bid success rate compare between domestic and overseas tenders? Can you just give a little bit idea on that?
So in India, you know, we all are aware that the entire Bombay High Oil Field is owned and operated by ONGC. And as far as ONGC and Bombay High Oil Field is concerned, so we are totally secured for the next 4 years with our ongoing tender. On the East Coast, which is a fast, we have already seen working there. And there is the PSV in India.
I would say in public sector. So right now at number one position in terms of preference, credibility from the customer. And as far as the Middle East is concerned, so now that we have had our entry into the field, enough to plan better preference. So I said that, you know, now our plan for the next 5-year vision is to add more DSV vessels in the fleet to expand our presence in the Middle East.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Jayashree Bajaj from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. As with older vessels like Phoenix Second, Third, and the Princess, it are still in operation. So how are you balancing maintenance costs with the replacement capex? And what is the preferred ROP below which you would retire a vessel?
So as of now, if you see the past 3 years, so this is a very good question and I thank you for that, you know. So we have been actively monitoring the aging aspect of our vessels. We have brought in Phoenix Paladin, we have brought in Swordfish, we have now brought in Nusantara, we have now brought in Phoenix Anant, which is brand new vessel. So with the addition of these 4 vessels, what we have scrapped is Phoenix 1. An old vessel. The plans are now there to, you know, CMAC 2, CMAC 3 and CMAC Princess. They might run out of operation in the next 5 years as far as our vision is concerned. And that will be done by adding more vessels, newer vessels, younger vessels to the fleet. As far as their ROI is concerned, so these vessels, you know, the book value is almost nil because they have been almost fully depreciated, and it is only a matter of adjusting my revenue against the OPEX cost of maintaining these vessels. And as if I say you a very plain, very human of even $30,000 per day, you know, gives me almost 25% return on the operations of these vessels.
Thank you, sir. That's a detailed answer. Next question is performance of this quarter is very good. And so, how you're planning to sustain this profitability for the next for FY26 and next financial year after divestment of loss-making Dubai assets?
See, the idea is that our diving support vessels are put to use in more consistent and continuous manner since. Swordfish is on a 2-year contract. CMAC 2 after the dry dock will work continuously. Paladin is on a continuous contract. With the addition of Nusantara and Anant, they will also be on a long-term contract basis. So we believe that our vessels will work on longer contracts in higher velocity than previously. This will help both in terms of consistent performance as well as growth for the company.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am. The next question is from the line of Rahul Chaturvedi from Nexa Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So just wanted to understand, beyond India, which overseas geographies are your primary growth targets in this year?
So as I explained earlier in the call also, so we are now targeting Middle East, the oil fields of Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Kuwait, Bahrain, Oman. And in the last 2 years, so one of our vessels, Swordfish, has already successfully completed a charter of almost 15 months in Aramco. And now it has been redeployed for another 2 years in the same oil field. And now we are actively looking at expanding the fleet to have more vessels which can operate in these oil fields. and that is both expansion for the company in terms of top line and profitability.
And Suryan, what competitive advantage do you believe we have compared to regional players in those markets?
So, you know, as we all know, that when it comes to Indian products versus the global products, so our cost of production / cost of services are way cheaper. Whereas we maintain the same quality, same standards, same credibility in terms of delivering performance, in terms of delivering efficiency. And that is what is to our advantage in these two oil fields where we have all the global majors operating. Our experience of almost 25 years in the diving charter vessels, that is another added benefit to us. Our core team, which has remained intact for the last 20 years, the experience, the knowledge that they have, that is another benefit to us. So, on a consolidated basis, you know, CIMEX is well poised to explore this market and offer a very affordable and competitive rate to the global market.
Understood, sir. And I just wanted to check, are we planning on something, exploring some new technologies, maybe ROV, UV in this year?
So, one of our vessels, CMAX 2, is already having an ROV on board. So, we are actually using this ROV for almost like 10 years now. So, we are not new to the ROV technology. But then, these technical adjustments are far because of the customer demand rather than my wish list. So, if my customer really wants me to use an ROV, wants me to use some AI-based technical equipment, I will be more than happy to do that, and we have the enough expertise and experience to operate such technical equipment.
Just wanted to understand, does that help in improving operational efficiency if we use those technologies? Even if our
clients don't want it. It is not a question of my operational efficiency. It is more a question of the cost of production that the customer is bearing. We all know, you know, if we use more and more advanced equipment, the cost of production will definitely go up. And it's for the customer to decide at what cost of production he really wants to, you know, to engage in crude oil extraction. So if he is ready to spend more money, I am ready to provide the service.
Secondly, also, this is dependent upon the kind of fields that we operate in. As we go deeper, definitely the requirements will be met as and when needed.
Understood, sir. Thanks, that would be all from my side. All the very best, sir.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Deepak from Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. My first question is, the insurance claim for Shimal Diamond boosted revenue. So, what was the nature of the claim and how much we have received, and are there any recurring risks to the vessel operation?
So, you know, when we brought this vessel, Shimal Diamond, at that time, there were certain maintenance issues for which we incurred a significant amount. And those breakdowns were covered under the insurance policy, comprehensive insurance policy for the vessel. And subsequently, once the work was carried out and the vessel was sent to the field, we lodged our insurance claim. So the expenses were booked in the previous quarter, and after thorough verification as the process is, we have received our insurance claim. So this insurance claim is therefore treated as other income in our quarter. And this is a full and final claim against the expenses incurred, and as such, no further claims are expected from the insurance company for CIMEX.
Okay, sir. And secondly, the next question is regarding the exit from the tunnel construction. The JV was withdrawn after 80% completion due to unavoidable circumstances. So, what were these, and does this signal a strategic refocus away from the diversification?
So, that tunnel project is already over for us. as far as we are concerned. That was another significant experiment undertaken by the company to venture into the field of EPC construction in infrastructure projects. And because that project was, you know, we were doing it for the L&T, which is one of the major Indian company into the infrastructure. So we undertook this project, but as far as we now understand it, that we should focus primarily on our MSC operation, the subsea operation, and as such we have closed the project and we have accounted it, whatever the losses were, they have all been provided in the books, and we have no intention to enter into the infrastructure as of now in the vision 5 years for us.
Okay, sir. And sir, lastly, the JV in the GIFT City is nascent. So, what revenue contribution is expected from the new cargo vessel? And how will the 50% equity partnership with Heritage Shipping affect margins?
So, this particular project was brought by Heritage Shipping. It was again a very good opportunity to work in India. And GIFT City is an initiative taken by the government of India to enable Indian companies to save the taxes. So we have our Dubai subsidiary, which is already operating bulk carriers outside India. We got an opportunity to work within India and with saving our taxes. And that is why we have formed this JV with Eric. So Eric is not only a financial partner, it is also a partner who is bringing in work through its experience, through its contract in the bulk carrier, where our presence is not very significant. We are primarily DSP operators. This is a business model in which, you know, we are getting risk-free returns in terms that we are into a bare-boat charter where the risk of operations is not on us. So, they will not contribute very significant returns, but a vessel operating company, instead of investing in treasury at 7 or 8%, if it gets a better return of 15 to 16% in the bulk carrier business and also, you know, start making a name, so I think that's a better financial plan for them.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Patel from RK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, please.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, few questions from my side. I just wanted to know that can you throw some light on the current pipeline of the confirmed contracts for the rest of the year, for the rest of the financial year, and what is the percentage of the revenue that you have already secured versus the still progressing?
As I mentioned earlier, CMAC Paladin is on a long-term contract where about 3 years are still ahead of us. In terms of Swordfish, it has a 2-year contract which has started recently. Nusan Tara and Anand are on long-term charter. Once they are acquired and put to use, they will have about 3 to 4 years of remaining contract period. CMAC 2 contract is about, I would say, till March 26. And CMAC 3 and CMAC Princess are currently deployed on spot market requirements. Our Barge Glorious works in 7 months, which is non-monsoon period every year. I hope I have clarified about the contract period.
Okay, understood. And how does our order book look like as if we compare it towards the last year, and what is the weighted average duration of the current backlog?
See, our order book is strong. As I just mentioned, we are acquiring 2 more vessels. So definitely the order book has expanded with those contracts of 3 to 4 years life remaining, contract life. Okay. And as Rajivji mentioned, all the vessels are currently in deployable state and are deployed. So, technically, we are fully occupied.
Okay. And my next question was that you mentioned that CMAC 3 lease rate was $2,800 per day under the BIMCO chartered party. So how does this being compared to the prevailing market rate, and are there any rate of improvement in near future for the upcoming contract?
Oh no, I am sorry, but CMAC 3 rate in the entire last season was on an average of $50,000 per day. The $2,800, from where you're getting, I am very sorry if it is mentioned, it's a totally typo error on part of any presentation that the company has made. And in the coming season also, we are expecting similar rates. So we are not at $2,800 per day is nothing. It's the maintenance cost of the vessel actually.
Okay.
I'm very sorry for any such typographical errors on our part.
Okay. And have we been able to secure the escalation clause linked to the inflation or fuel price? And what will be the percentage of our current fleet operates under the fixed versus the spot rate?
So, as of now, there is only one vessel which we have kept aside for spot rate. Almost four vessels are on 4-year contract. One vessel is on 2-year contract, and during this contract duration, we are not allowed to increase the charter hire. That is fixed. And we take that into account when we are calculating our prices for the entire 5-year period. So when we work out an average price spread over 5 years, the margins will be higher. But by the time the 5th year comes, because of inflation, the cost increases, but the charter remains the same. So all those adjustments, price adjustments, they are all well taken care of when we are bidding for a particular tender. In terms of operational efficiency, in quarter 1, our efficiency was almost 90%. In quarter 3 and 4, for the coming season, we have already secured contracts for almost all the vessels. So that is why we are very confident on FY25-26 in terms of fleet deployment.
Okay, that was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Darshan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are audible.
Yes. First, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I had a couple of questions. Based on what you told to the previous participant, that you have one vessel kept aside for the spot market and the rest of tied in the long-term contract. Now, this CMAC Princess has been demobilized for the upcoming monsoon season. How does this affect utilization rate in Q2 and as well as margins? Because I think in the presentation, you also guided to the fact that better margins was due to higher utilization of CMAC Princess. So, just can you throw some color on that front, please?
The Indian market, the monsoon season starts somewhere in the last week of May and it ends in September, and this is something which is constant. So if you see all through our last 10 year results, this quarter 2 is the monsoon season where, the fleet deployment is very minimal. And this particular period is utilized by the company for the maintenance of the vessel. And this is not confined to me, it is confined to the entire offshore fleet market in India. So quarter 3, quarter 4 and quarter 1, that is where the almost 90% of the revenue happens. That is where the focus should be in ensuring complete fleet deployment. So CMAC Princess has completed ERP 7 in June 2025. And now we have been awarded contract work for PRP-8, and this vessel is expected to go back to the field in the month of October to start work on PRP-8. In fact, just to add, we were also part of PRP-6 and PRP-5. So this vessel has been continuously operating in this PRP series of work for LNG, and next season, and then 26 and 27 is also booked for CRPA.
Got it. So, as investors, I think your guidance to us would be to not look at it from a quarterly perspective, but more from a year-on-year perspective, because then if Q2 would be monsoon affected last year also, so then that gives...
If you see quarter two numbers in any of the past 5 years, so the revenue is very minimal, the cost is almost there. And that is a quarter where the company's maximum focus is to remain break-even, you know, not to incur any losses in the quarter.
Got it. And sir, any specifics on cost control measures that you're going to take for for the whole year FY26 to kind of maintain margins above FY25 for the full year? So any changes, any cost control measures, any currency hedges that you're going to undertake?
See, you know, running a fleet of old vessels versus running a fleet of a young vessel is always cost effective. The maintenance cost on old vessels is quite high, and that is what the company in the last 3 years has undertaken. So it is coming out of running the fleet of old vessels by deploying new vessels, and you can very well see that our maintenance cost is continuously on a downward trend. Then, in the terms of crew deployment, whereas our earlier fleet was confined to say 6 or 7 vessels, now it has gone above 10 vessels. So we have more command on the crew wages, and in fact the company is actively working on creating a pool of the crew that is required for the entire fleet, so that going forward, you know, we are not hit by abnormal increase in the crew wages.
Also, as Rajiv ji mentioned earlier, reducing the dry dock period, doing the dry dock effectively, add to the overall profitability and efficiency of the business.
So next would be, is this a company's policy to gain some revenue guidance and margin guidance for the next couple of years, or at least for FY26, so that we get a sense of how, you know, what is the direction that you see internally, where the company would be moving?
See, there are various research reports which you can refer. However, you know, the business is quite volatile. While you have seen this quarter number and we are very confident on growth in terms of revenue and profitability, I would refrain myself of giving any guidance. You can refer to research reports. They will give you enough color on the subject.
Yes, and finally, guys, I think there's a couple of good macro things that have happened for the oil and gas exploration in general. I think there was an article in May on ONGC finding new oil and gas reserves, and then the petroleum minister's commentary on you know, in basically opening up the no-go zones and about 2.5 lakh of square kilometer area that they're going to kind of explore under OALP. So all of that, you know, are there any more potential revenue possibilities on that front? How is the you know, any other news or companies evaluating in terms of some more business that can be generated from all of these government initiatives?
So, you know, these are definitely very positive news for the company. But as a business, we are a company which is into the maintenance of the oil field. So once the crude oil is actually started extracting from the bed of the seabed or the onshore bed, and the oil field has been set up, it is then that CMAX comes into operation. As far as, you know, exploring new oil opportunities or, you know, in installing the oil field and the oil platform is concerned, so if all these things are initiated by the government of India, we are quite hopeful that all these will, you know, transform into oil fields in over the next 5 to 7 years, and that is where then CMAX will come into operations and provide its services. And keeping that in mind, and the other thing is the Middle East market that we are quite focused on, we have actively, you know, planned for expanding our fleet.
Got it, sir. So it's quite encouraging to know that you have a great good visibility ahead of you. Thank you for all the detailed answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Deepak from Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Just a follow-up question on the question asked by my colleague. Just want to understand this. Is this an industrial practice to have the 3% fees of MMG? Because this is something which I just want to understand what value addition MMG is building on for our company right now. So don't you think this will be much more investor friendly if you can remove those fees?
So, you know, as far as industry practice is concerned, so as I said earlier during this call also, so this is a related party transaction. We have engaged Grant Thornton to work out a comprehensive related party transaction review. They have completed their study. They are expected to submit their report in the coming week, which will be shared with the investors. This is a standard industry practice. The fees that we are paying to MNG is well within the market benchmark. In fact, it is lower than the mean of the market. The value addition of MNG is tremendous because they bring with them lots of expertise, knowledge, contact, and their advisory in deciding the value of the contract. So, while when we are working on the charter hire aspect of the tender, that is where they bring their value addition. When we are deciding on our treasury operations, that is where they bring their value addition. Yeah. When we are deciding on the dry dock cost, selection of dry dock, that is where they bring their value addition, because they have been actively engaged with the company for the last 15 years or so. So the value addition is definitely there. The fees benchmark in the eyes of the management is well below the market industry benchmark. And I am very hopeful that Grant Thornton in its report will definitely vouch what we are trying to project here.
Thank you, sir. Sir, just a question on the London part. If you can explain in detail how the what is your thought process there right now on that investment fee of London?
So again, as I said in my call earlier, so the UK investment, there are two aspects to it. One is to set up a global office, because we really want to explore the North Sea market, that is the North Europe compromising of the North Sea and the allied areas. And the other part is that part of this investment will come back to India once this particular development project is completed. So our original timeline for completion of the project was March 25, but for approvals and reasons beyond our control, especially what is the geopolitical situation, you know, so this has delayed by a period of almost 12 to 15 months. But the impact on cost is very minimal here. We are not seeing any very significant increase in the project cost. So overall strategy remains the same, that part of the proceeds will come back to India and we will have a global office to explore the North Sea market. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and I hope we are going to see this these solutions as soon as possible.
Definitely.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to interest of time, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
We thank all our investors who have supported us so far. We are confident that we shall demonstrate sustainable growth and value for our stakeholders. Thank you and see you in the next quarter.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.